Welcome to the Wildlife Around You Show, a casual nature podcast with your hosts, Blaine
and Lainey,
both nature enthusiasts. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well.
Great.
So what kind of wildlife have you seen recently?
Spring has sprung in our area. There are a lot of frisky animals in the squirrels, particularly in our backyard, have been very entertaining.
Yeah, they've been chasing around each other constantly.
Yeah. And today I was sitting at our dining room table working, and suddenly I hear this scratching noise, and I look over, and the squirrels are trying to chase each other up our window. So,
squirrels.
What about you?
Same outside of our window. Green anole has been hanging out there, eating all the crane flies that are flying around, which is good.
Yes.
We've got more than enough of those right now.
Boy, do we.
It's been fun to watch. So today we're deviating a little bit. Instead of discussing an animal, we're kind of going over tactics of finding animals.
Yeah.
Things that we do and places that we look. So what kind of places do you visit to try and find animals, or as you're driving by, look for animals in?
So I specifically like walking trails that have where they're specifically like some green belts like that. We have a lot of parks here in Central Texas that have water and streams, and they have nice paved or cleared walking paths, and there's always wildlife around there. I also, when I'm driving, I pay attention, depending on the time of day, if it's morning or dusk, I pay attention to all of the light poles and the power lines, because there's always either vultures or hawks up there. And then as the sun starts setting, all of the birds that are getting ready to come home to nest, that's where I find them. And periodically you can find other animals sitting up on those as a perch or climbing or using the power lines to crawl from different spaces to avoid the traffic.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising once you start actually trying to look to see what you can see, how readily you can find some things. Mm-hmm. If you've got a little bit of foliage, a little bit of food, a little bit of water in close proximity, you get a good variation.
Yeah, because the first time that I saw an armadillo was in an office park. I could hear rustling, and I looked over, and he's just in the green part of the parking lot, just doing his own thing, looking for food. He or her, don't know.
Like, I've seen like dozens of monk parakeets in a Walmart parking lot that you wouldn't expect to find there. And everything kind of abounds.
Yeah.
So when you're looking for the animals in these kind of environments, say you're walking on trails or at your dining room table, looking out the window, or looking out the window of an office, or going through a walk through a park, what are you kind of searching or scanning for with your eyes to see what you can discover? Or what catches your eyes or your senses that lets you know, oh, I should look to see if there's an animal?
Definitely sound. We have a lot of deer in this area, and there are some times where you can hear movement, and then if it stops abruptly, that's usually oh, I must be close. And sometimes you can look through and you can see the deer there. Lots of small birds, like the ground cover and bushes, and lizards are the same thing. And so, and obviously when birds are singing, I love looking for them or making their various calls. I'll look around for them. What about you?
Similarly, I think it's taking advantage of all of the senses that we have. Movement's a big one for me when I'm looking for something. I think instinctually or primevally, we're wired to see movement. And so if we're going through something and all of a sudden, well, that stands out, that's moving, or that doesn't align right.
Yeah.
Then my senses go off. Maybe that's my overdeveloped sense of where's Waldo. And I can find what stands out pretty easily. But that's a key one for me. Mm-hmm. And also like shapes that stand out. So silhouettes of birds or things like that, where I'm looking, I'm like, that branch doesn't look right, or that light pole doesn't look right in the distance. Then it's the what's on it. Mm-hmm. So what time of days or what times of the day are ideal for finding wildlife that you've found you have better success with?
Well, if it's in my backyard, we've also built up our backyards to attract wildlife. So it's around always dusk and dawn are the best times. And then mid-afternoon, because those are the times when they go eat. If it's in the middle of the summer and it's really hot, they're not as active. So we try to make sure that there's plenty of water out there. And the activity is very consistently dusk and dawn. So within, you know, and it doesn't have to be just right at sunrise or sunset. It can be a couple hours after.
Yeah, there's a lot of flexibility with that, especially if there's any cloud cover.
Oh, yeah. Cloud cover helps a lot.
If you have a cloudy day, you can really get them throughout the whole day. It's when the sun's bearing down, it's super high and hot and that kind of stuff, then you don't see them quite as readily.
But. And on the flip side, when it's really cold, too. If it's cold and windy, you won't see them as much. They will only come out when they absolutely have to.
Yeah. If it's sprinkling or anything like that, as soon as you get a pause or it lightens up a little bit, then all of a sudden you'll see more coming out.
Yeah.
They kind of coincide with our meals, which is kind of funny. They'll have dinner around when we have dinner.
Mm-hmm. They have lunch when we have lunch. It's interesting to see.
So you had mentioned kind of places that you look of on the power lines, street lights. We see those going down the highways and other things like that. Whenever I pass by a body of water, whether it's like a pond in a neighborhood or someplace that just takes all the drainage after storms, I always look along the shores of that as I'm driving by, and it's usually pretty easy to see.
Yep.
Egrets and herons and other things like that.
Mm-hmm. Similarly, if there have been storms, those are the times around dusk. If you look along the edges of roads here in Central Texas, we have really large storm drains on our streets and sidewalks. So that if I'm walking or driving in a neighborhood, I will pay attention there, because that's one of the times when I'll see raccoons or possums. And as the sun is going down, some of the untouched wild land, you can see deer grazing. We've seen turkeys and some other stuff that they're a lot more skittish. They don't like being out where humans can see them. But if it's darker and it has been stormy, they will get out of the cover a little more readily.
Yeah, there's a whole network of drain pipes under the roads that interconnect, and they use those as a subway system. So they'll come up and you can see them scurry across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. In neighborhoods a lot, I know when I used to drive, you'd see them deer and stuff like that during the day. You'd always have to watch out, make sure you didn't hit any. Then they'd bed down kind of midday when the heat's there. So you'd look in wherever there was shadow on a lawn, you'd find them and you're like, is that an ornament or is that a real deer? And then it would move slightly. You're like, oh, that's a real deer. I know when I'm driving along, like I'll look at telephone poles, but I'll look closer to the main pole is where we tend to find the hawks. It's not out on the little ends. Kestrels will be on the wires. Other birds will be on the wires, but hawks and falcons and things like that will always be kind of
on the post of the pole.
Near the post. And similarly, like when they're on trees, they're usually, depending on the kind of hawk, they'll usually be in the low branches in a clearing that they just swooped up and they're waiting there. And then they swoop down to get something. They're not always right at the very top peak of the tree. Mm-hmm. And others, they're happy to sit there. One time when we were walking, we saw a great horned on top of a football stadium light post. We could hear it as we were walking around a track and we're like, where is that? And looked up of,
oh. It's Great Horned Owl.
It's on the light post.
And if you see wildlife, like raptors, they are not as transitory. They tend to have their territory. And so we have a couple of neighborhood walking trails and green belts that their walking trails are on either side of the green belt. And we will see hawks routinely in that area. So you can kind of start figuring out when they're there as you go, of like try different times and pay attention, and you'll see them regularly.
Yeah. And time of the year makes a difference. Mm-hmm. In the winter, it's easier to see birds because there's not a lot of foliage on the trees. So it's easier to see their silhouettes. And in the spring, they're a lot more tolerant of people because they're so focused on mating and things like that.
And taking care of their
young. They'll be out. Instead of hiding in the brush and other stuff there, I'm defending my territory, and I'm looking for this and I'm looking for that and trying to find a mate. And so you'll see a lot more. Like, we noticed that with cardinals when we first moved here. Mm-hmm. In the fall and winter, you'd see one every now and then, but there's like a month or two in the spring where it just seems like every bird you see is almost a cardinal.
Yeah. And especially the males calling for females. To go back to things to pay attention for, if you hear a big commotion, there are sometimes you can hear birds like making unusual, instead of having them their morning calls or they're just chatting with each other. If it just sounds
like they're squawking at something.
Yeah. If you go out, the majority of the time, there will be some kind of predator that they're trying to get rid of. They're trying to protect their territory. Sometimes it'll happen in a tree, but more often than not, you will see them circling whatever the raptor is in the sky, if it is a raptor, and they'll be coming after it. And that's an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, little birds take on something so much bigger. Pretty fierce. So there are also tools that you can use that are apps on phones, and also a lot of them have access on the internet to help you know kind of what is in your city. So one is called iNaturalist. It's a place where kind of community scientists can put their sightings on it if they've got a picture of it or a call of something, whether it's a plant or animal. And then that group of people will be like, it's this kind. So if you're not sure, you're not good at identifying things, it's a great one to do. But you can also be like, here's my zip code or here's my address, what's around me, and it'll show you what anybody has found around you and when they found it. Another kind of more broad one is an app called Map of Life that'll show you, you can pick an area and it'll say there are this many amphibians, reptiles, mammals, whatever, and you can click on it and it'll show you all the different kinds there so you know what you have a good chance of seeing. And then eBird is one that birders use, and that's where any sighting that they get, it records the location and the date and the time and what it is. And so they'll have calls. Sometimes it's just, they just say, I saw it or I heard it. But sometimes they've got photos and other stuff. And see if there's a particular animal you're looking for, those are good ways to go and try and find generally where it might be in your community. But something we've had success with is when traveling, is actually making visits to natural areas a part of our travels.
Yeah. Seen a lot of fun animals because of that.
So what kind of natural places have we come across or planned deliberately to go visit?
Nature preserves. Finding out that there are a lot more nature preserves around in big urban areas than we were previously aware of. Looking for, like, if there are specific animals that we're looking for, finding forums online. We both really want to see beavers in the wild. And so we've tried that a few times of we've seen a sighting here. And so we will plan something around and try and be in that general area to try and find them.
Yeah. And just dedicate time to be there. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is just time.
Yeah.
That it takes.
And with our daughter, trying to find places that have things that she can explore instead of just sitting there being bored. So that she can be entertained and explore and appreciate, because she loves to hike with us as well and be outside. And so, you know, trying to find some of the places that does this nature preserve have any place that we can sit and actually observe? Do they have, if you're a birder, do they have bird blinds? You know, stuff like that to specifically call them out. Going to zoos are fun, but I prefer seeing animals in the wild. And so we try to go to pick those places, going to the coast and doing research, because there are a lot of resources online and through apps to guide you of what you're interested in.
Yeah. Part of our very casual approach is we very rarely sit in one spot for a long period of time to wait and observe nature. We're usually walking and seeing what we can find while we're moving. Mm-hmm. Part of that is having a five-year-old.
Yes.
But yeah, if you search a city and add preserve or reserve or riparian or nature center to that search, you'll be surprised at what pops up.
Yeah. And if it's something that you become more interested in, and as you become more familiar with it, it will stand out. You will become more familiar on how to look for things, how to look for the specific animals and to be aware of them. And some of the other tools that we use is we have binoculars, because you can see something far off, and you, with your natural eyes, you may not be able to clearly identify what it is, but using the binoculars, it's really fun. And then you can see farther of, well, that, you know, that animal does not want to come close because it knows we're around.
So in general, what are some tips for us as behavior of what we can do to try and increase our chances to be one of those people that's aware of what's around them and sees more of nature than we would have otherwise?
Part of it is just having an awareness that there is beauty in nature, even here in, you know, these big cities within our country, and around the world. There are lots of animals that are very adapted to the urban lifestyle. And so read up on things, and just, you know, as you're running errands, if you're at a stop site, look around. If, you know, going for a walk or a bike ride or just going to get the mail, pay attention to what you hear and what you see, and make it a little more of a concerted effort.
Also kind of being patient.
Oh, yes.
Slowing down. Mm-hmm. Taking the time and looking at the small stuff. I mean, unless you're, if you're somebody that doesn't like insects, then disregard this. But a lot of times if you pass flowers or something like that, mm-hmm. realize, hey, if I stop and actually look a little bit closer, chances are I might see bees or wasps or ants mm-hmm. or butterflies or any number of animals taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. But so we pass it so often that sometimes it's just like, oh, there's a pretty flower, but we don't think that's part of an ecosystem. That's mm-hmm. a whole system in and of itself.
Well, and remembering how fascinating nature was when you were little, of after it's rained, there's always going to be some earthworms around. Are there snails? Are there roly-polies? And that's really fun. And if you have children, like showing them of, look, isn't this so cool? It's really fun.
Turn over a rock.
Oh, yeah. If you're in, you know, Arizona, be careful. There might be a scorpion.
Yeah. If you're in various places, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as you start to observe, one of the things we enjoy is actually figuring out what it is that you've seen.
Yes.
So it can really help if you can snap a picture of it, because then you can go back and kind of compare and other things. Some very quick identification helps is if it's a bird, there's an app called Merlin Bird ID, which is free. That'll help you. If you have a picture of it, you can enter the picture in there and it'll tell you what it thinks it is. If you just get the sound of it, you can be like, what's the sound I hear? And you can open up the app and record the sound and it'll pick it up. Even if it's pretty faint, it does a good job of picking it up as long as you're holding still. And it can also let you do process of elimination. It'll be like, what's the size? What's the day? Was it perched? Was it in the ground? Was it soaring? What colors did you see? And then it'll be like, okay, here's our top results. Was one of these your bird? So that's a way you can kind of narrow it down. iNaturalist, again, if you get a picture of it, you can submit it to that group and kind of watch the comments as they argue over whether it's this one or this one. But they'll get you pretty close to it, but they're down to the scientific name, which I never worry about. I'm just like, man, it's close enough. And then even Google search will let you now do pretty well. If you can get a picture of something, you can mm-hmm. actually just upload the picture and be like, what is this? And it'll pop up the results. Not as good as the other two, not quite as accurate, but if it's fairly common, it'll nail it pretty well.
Yeah.
Any other tips or advice or observations of what we do that might help other people?
Just be curious. Remember, this earth is beautiful. We have so much beauty and there's so much variety, and just try and you'll be surprised. And turning off the radio and putting your phone down and just taking the time to be patient and quiet and just observe. It's amazing how rejuvenating it is. Even if it's just a couple of minutes, it can really help appreciate what we have around us, because there is a lot of wildlife around us.
Yeah. And it's amazing how fast you can switch from somebody that, well, I didn't see anything, to, oh, I'm a person that sees nature everywhere.
Yeah. Because, you know, we have some listeners that have been sharing things with us of, I had no idea how much stuff was around me. And as I've been paying attention of, you know, just driving home from the grocery store, we had somebody submit a, a message that they saw a coyote at dusk crossing the street of. It's amazing what you will find.
So until next time.
See ya. Good luck. We hope you feel inspired to be someone who is more aware of the nature around you. We also hope that you have enjoyed this episode and learned something new about wildlife that may be around you.
For more information about getting outdoors and to see our photos and videos of the wildlife we talk about, follow us on Instagram at @aporterexplorer and @getoutsidedaily.
To ensure you don't miss a future episode, be a subscriber to our podcast. A new episode comes out weekly.
If you really liked it and are willing, please be one of our favorite people and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd love to see what you have to say. It helps spread the word so more can enjoy what is around them.
And don't forget to tell your friends about what you've learned with us. Everyone wins when we spend more time with nature.
You can find show notes for all our episodes at aporterexplorer.com/podcast. Until next time, we encourage you to get outside daily to see what is around you and to get back to nature.